What comes to mind for you when I say the words self-gaslighting? For some of us, we automatically resonate and know that we have indeed done this to ourselves. For others, the old definition of gaslighting we may know brings resistance, and we can't help but hear some sort of victim blaming. In my practice, the most powerful transformations have happened when people have understood the way we self-gaslight, have broken the power those messages have had over them, and rewrote the narratives that have been running their lives. This topic of self-gaslighting is so important to me. I'm dedicating the whole month of May to it. I'm calling this month Living in the Land of Shoulds. In today's episode, I'm going to explain just what self-gaslighting is and the two main ways that it happens. Before I do that, though, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Sarah Morales, the host of this podcast, and I'm so glad you're here. If you're new to the pod and want to know a bit more about me and the offerings I have to help people heal from the effects of chronic gaslighting, please check out my website, deconstructinggaslighting.com. I'll have the link in the show notes. So many of us are aware of the ways gaslighting shows up when there's addiction, maybe intimate partner betrayal, or we are dealing with maybe parents or someone else in our lives with a lot of narcissistic tendencies or even narcissistic personality disorder, a number of the other things that would cause there to be a lot of gaslighting in our lives. Most of the people who come to me are doing so because of this type of gaslighting, mostly the intimate partner betrayal and addiction. What I have found through the past 10 years of studying gaslighting and working with my clients is that way before we experience that intimate partner type of gaslighting, most of us have already taken on thoughts, beliefs, perceptions, etc., that are not in alignment with our authentic selves, which is gaslighting. And we've done this since childhood. Now, before I dive deeper into this, here are just two quick examples of self-gaslighting statements almost all of us say or have said to ourselves. The first one is any number of statements that could be boiled down to or summed up with the belief, I am not enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not funny enough. I'm not smart. Any of those types of statements. The second one would be, I have to perform or achieve at a high level in order to be loved or wanted. So if you've ever believed those things about yourself, I'm proposing that you have been walking around not completely in alignment with your authentic self and you didn't even know it. You see, your authentic self would never say these things to you. This is where what I call self-gaslighting comes into play. And this is how self-gaslighting works. Gaslighting is experienced through patterns. And this is part of what my passion and my life's work is about, is teaching people how to recognize the patterns that make up gaslighting experiences, the tactics, techniques, and methods on the gaslighter side, and the risks and vulnerabilities and traps that are on the gaslightee's side. Gaslighting is experienced through these patterns. Now, through repetition of these gaslighting experiences and over time, what happens is there is a breaking down more and more of our self-knowing, our connection to our self, our personality, our beliefs, our thoughts, our values, all of these things, they get broken down more and more, again, through repetition and over time. Now, I'm going through these pretty quickly because I want to get to the self-gaslighting part. The origin of self-gaslighting is either direct, which means somebody says a statement to you that is a gaslighting statement, or indirect, okay, or origins. Direct or indirect. The indirect is always done via extrapolation or perceived inference. So I want to give an example of this one so that y'all can follow with me as I go through the rest of my explanation. So the first example, direct. Let's say your parent is telling you when you're crying that you shouldn't be so sad. It's no big deal, that kind of a thing. That's an invalidating phrase that causes us to take on, I'm too much, I emote too much, whatever. When it is indirect, what is happening is imagine that you're not the child that is being scolded or said those things to, but rather you're the sibling of the child that that is being said to, right? I'd like to give a few more examples of where we can pick up messages of things that are happening around us that cause us to take on beliefs, perceptions, values that are likely not our authentic selves. The first one would be TVs or movies, books that we might be reading, magazines in the checkout aisles. I mean, think about the pictures that we see in the magazines at your local grocery store of these people who have like perfect bodies, and this is thrown everywhere around us. We believe that that's what we're supposed to attain to be. That is extrapolation or perceived inference. I know so many people, I've talked about this in many different places, that can pick up things. We can extrapolate beliefs, thoughts, values from religious systems as well. So let's get really specific here. And I'm going to give you an example of direct gaslighting that then becomes internalized gaslighting messages. So let's go to that example again of the child crying. And the parent is telling them, don't be so sad, it's not that big of a deal, etc. Every time that happens, it reinforces to the child that being sad is not okay. I'm too much, I'm too emotional, etc. Every time. Think about this. This is happening over and over and over again, hundreds, if not thousands of times in the, 18 years you're living in your family of origin. So every time it happens, it reinforces that belief. Now, let's look at where else this might happen that we could have this reinforced. Well, let's go to, high school, and we're going to talk about a romantic relationship where you might have in high school and you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend that is telling you when you're upset about something to not be so upset. It's not such a big deal. And so again, these messages are being reinforced both in your family of origin and now in a romantic relationship. Where else might this happen? Well, I don't know about you, but I've been told things like that at my job when I was sad about something that was either happening with a coworker, with a client, with something that might be happening in my personal life, and a boss or manager or whatever telling me to, not be so sad, it's not that big of a deal, invalidating statements at work. So what this does is when you hear these types of messages that are gaslighting messages happening in all of these different places, the logical conclusion is, well, I'm the thing that's consistent in all of these places, so it must be me, right? Like, we end up being confused and not feeling okay with ourselves. So what we do as a form of self-protection, as a form of coping, we don't even know that we do it. But over time and with that repetition, we end up making subconscious agreements with these people that we are emoting too much, right? We do that so that we can stay in the relationship or keep the job or trust in the other person or keep the attachment with the other person. This is a survival mechanism. We do not know that we are doing it, right? So I want to use the example of an iceberg to help us understand what is happening here. When we start out as ourselves, our sense of self, we are this open being that has the opportunity to learn and to grow and to become this version of ourselves that is totally connected to ourselves. And then what happens is every time somebody says that you're too much, too emotional, making a big deal, that chips away at our sense of wholeness, our sense of okayness with ourselves. And every time that conflict between them and you choose them because we're wired to, right? We're wired to choose attachments. The more we hear that, the more and more that bit of our self-knowing and connection to ourself and okayness gets chipped away. And the end result is this, teeny tiny little piece of ourselves that from where we started, and we internalize these messages and are not connected to ourselves. We don't know our truth. Therefore, we don't trust ourselves. And therefore, we then look to others to help us know what is real. And that equals us being vulnerable to more external gaslighting. Okay, so now that we did an example of a way that direct gaslighting ends up with us self-gaslighting, let's do an example of indirect gaslighting. An extrapolation or that perceived inference ends up with us gaslighting ourselves. And for this one, I'm going to use an example from my own life. And so there may have been a time or two in my life when I have been told that I'm intense or that someone was intimidated by me. And the perceived inference was that it was negative, right? That it was not okay, that I was too much, that the intimidation had to do because of the way that I carried myself or my facial expressions or whatever it might be. And what happened with that perceived inference, again, when we go back to, we are wired to choose attachment if we are not aware of the conflict that is happening inside of us between us choosing ourselves or us choosing the relationship, we make that subconscious agreement. Ooh, I'm too much. Like I'm a little too intense. I'm a little intimidating. Like I better make myself smaller. I better not be so strong with my voice. I better make sure I smile more. I better make sure I, you know, adjust my whatever it is so that I can fit in to this way that other people want to experience me. And every time I was faced with that situation in different settings, I pushed down more and more of myself. So I became less and less connected to myself. So the self-gaslighting part of it is once we make that agreement, and again, we don't know that we're making that agreement, the external gaslighting statement becomes a self-directed gaslighting statement. I now am saying these things to myself. I now am saying, because I'm too intense, I need to, right? Like I started to believe it. Where before people told me those things, I was happy with the way that I was walking through this world, right? Good news is, side note, I now love my intensity. I am intense, but I love it. It makes me good at what I do. But what I'm hoping you'll get from these two examples is the bottom line that what happens with self-gaslighting is we have either direct or indirect gaslighting messages that we, in order to stay in attachment with other people, make subconscious agreements that we then adjust ourselves to live in alignment with. And they are not from our authentic self. So breaking free of those out of alignment statements that we have been trying to adjust our lives to is where we find liberation. So let's take this into our top takeaways. Number one, get curious about statements that drive you, but don't come from a place of love and acceptance of yourself. Statements like, I'm not enough or I'm too much, any variation of those. Number two, ask yourself, if I could hear what my authentic self would say to me about this belief or value or situation, feeling, whatever it might be, what would they say? Number three, get curious about the origins of any of these statements. Did someone say something to you directly that you internalized? Did you extrapolate meaning from your surroundings or from something you witnessed? We get the most power to break things when we can identify the origin. And number four, make a pledge to yourself to do your best to not be self-directing with any gaslighting statements. As I wrap up today, I wanted to remind you of the different offerings I have on my website that help you recognize gaslighting in all areas of your life. Check them out or even schedule a free consultation with me to talk about what programs are the best fit for you in your situation or relationships. I invite you to follow me on your preferred social media platform. I'm on Facebook and Instagram as Sarah Morales Coaching, and I'm on TikTok as @SassySarahDeconstructs. I'll have the links in my show notes. Thank you, my listener, for listening to today's episode. If you found it helpful and want to help me get it in the hands of more people who could benefit from it, please leave a review and subscribe. Additionally, if you can think of one person in particular who could benefit, especially from this self-gaslighting messages, please share it with them. And remember, you may have crashed and burned, been broken and hurt, but damn it, you're a phoenix and you're rising again. I think it's time we fly. And now, Phoenix by Katrina Stone.
There's no flicker, there's no flame in you. Think we're playing a game here. You and I aren't the same, and I need a chance to rise from the ashes. Everybody watching, everybody talking, better keep on walking by, by. 'Cause I don't wanna fall for another lie. I think it's time to fly. 'Cause I crashed and burned and broken, hurt and laid there for a while. But now I don't choke when I see smoke. It only makes me smile. You find me in the furnace. From the depths, and I don't think I need your blessing now. The rhythm of my wheels only better now. They don't want that new blood, they just want that old love. Hell, you're never enough for you. No, I don't wanna fall for that same old life. I think it's time to fly. 'Cause I crashed and burned and broken, hurt and laid there for a while. But now I choke when I see smoke. It only makes me smile. You find me in the furnace.